This is Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the South Alabama Jaguars. Each week, hear from Jaguar student athletes, coaches, staff, and alumni as they uncover and relive great stories. With this week's guest, here's former All-Sunbelt Conference offensive lineman Chris May and Jaguar radio broadcaster JT Crabtree.
Welcome in to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. JT Crabtree here, joined by Chris May. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Glad to see you back from getting married. Yeah. Having a fun honeymoon, huh?
It wasn't too bad. Went down to St. Lucia, and we've been married about a little over, or actually today is a month. So she hasn't gotten rid of me yet, so that's good.
So keyword is yet, huh?
Yes. I got to keep stipulating yet. So I'm still around with her, so that's always good. And this is officially kind of episode one of the Inside Jag Nation podcast. We're going to be rolling it out weekly, try and get it out there every Monday, bring you some insight of what's going on not only right now with athletics, but what has gone on in the past with some folks who maybe, obviously you've heard their names, maybe you haven't heard from them in a while, so looking forward to catching up with some folks and telling you what's going on in their lives now. Joining us this week for officially episode one of Inside Jag Nation are Director of Multimedia / Corporate Sales Executive, Pat Greenwood's joined us. Now, Pat.
Did you just get me because I'm in the next office? You're like, heck, let's just get this guy.
No.
Pat, glad you could join us, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Looking forward to it.
What is, you know, I mentioned your title there, Director of Multimedia. What all does that encompass?
How long is this podcast?
Well, it's edited content.
Okay,
so, you know,
good.
We can
knock it down. Okay. Yeah. No, all-encompassing. In a nutshell, I do JagNationTV.com, which is edited content and live content. Also, I'm responsible for all the ESPN Plus broadcasts, both on-air and off-air. Of course, I'm part of the radio broadcast team with you for football and do the ESPN Plus broadcast and corporate sales, so selling tickets right now for a football stadium, doing signage, programs, you name it. So I don't know if that fully encompasses my job, but pretty close. Pretty close.
So other than that, you don't do anything.
Yeah, I don't do anything.
All right, that's what you do now. Let's back up and let's kind of build from where you were to where you are now. How did you get started in sports?
Well, I realized freshman year of high school that I was not good enough to play. I played a little bit. I played all the sports growing up, and that's what, you know, as kids in my generation at least, you know, Saturday morning cartoons were the big deal. All right, everybody got up, watched cartoons. I was not that guy. I got outside, played until noon because that's when all the games came on. So I was one of those sports guys from the start and, you know, played stuff, played football, baseball, basketball, ran track and cross country, but obviously was not a collegiate level athlete. And so I said, oh, so what's next? So I could possibly talk about sports. And, you know, I realized as a kid that I was listening to the play-by-play, listening to the color, and I was like, that seems interesting. And I was also a guy that would watch the news because, again, back then everybody watched the news at 6 and 10 every night. And, you know, I said, that looks kind of fun. So that's once I realized that I'm not going to the NBA or the NFL or major leagues, let me see what I can do to stay around sports. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that.
So you mentioned that you weren't good enough to make it to the next level. But I think you're cutting yourself a little bit short because you have an extremely interesting story about being a college athlete. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I did play college basketball at Loyola University in New Orleans, which is NAIA Division II non-scholarship, which is about
Hold on.
Yes.
There are divisions of NAIA?
There were. I don't know if there still are. Of course, you know, this is back in 1912 when I was in college.
Whoa.
But, no, it was a non-scholarship program, and basically we started – athletics my sophomore year. They had athletics up until 1972. The administration did away with it, and then my sophomore year we decided to start basketball, and I think women's soccer was the other sport that was going on. And through a long story, basically I got to get in a couple of games, and actually the story I always tell is that I led the NAIA in three-point shooting percentage, which is true, for about 7 seconds, because I took the first shot, made my first three, and then I missed my next six. So, but for one shining moment, I was atop the NAIA.
Number
standings.
One was Pat Greenwood.
One for one.
Even though that time being a college athlete was very short for you, you were around the program,
right.
You were very involved with all the things that had to do with athletics. How do you feel like that time during your college experience affected where you're at today?
Well, it was cool because I got a chance to see both sides. I got a chance to see it from a player's perspective. What does the staff do? You know, a lot of times players don't have any clue what we do, and oftentimes we as staff have no idea what the players have to go through and their practice and their schedules and their regimen and everything. And so doing that, I got to see both sides of it and got a pretty deep appreciation for what the athletes go through and pretty deep appreciation for what the staff goes through as well. So I think that certainly helped me as my career wound on. Of course, I took a 20-year detour in TV news, but then you come back and, you know, you want to identify with both. And I think I'm uniquely qualified to be able to do that.
So you mentioned right there you worked in TV for a while. Mm-hmm. So obviously being able to go around and cover different sporting events, especially around the Gulf Coast, so many things go on. What's kind of the coolest things you covered while you're on TV?
The Super Bowl. Got a chance to do the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl in the Superdome.
Okay.
That would have been 2002, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
A show on turf.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, got a chance to see that. And in fact, it was funny that some guy named Brady had just taken over for Drew Bledsoe. And in the locker room afterward, I just happened to be the guy right in front of Bledsoe when he walks out. So I was, you know, of course, there's this swarm of cameras and microphones and everything, and here I am right in the middle.
That's cool.
Although I guess technically I was interviewing the guy that didn't play, but still, it's still kind of cool. So I got a chance to do that. Maybe the coolest thing, though, was the Miss USA pageant. I got a chance to do that when I was in Lafayette. It was funny. When I was in college, I got to work the Final Four, the 93 Final Four, and kind of the same thing. They called me. I did some freelance work for CBS Sports when I was in college, so I would do stats for Saints games, and they called me and said, do you want to do the Final Four? You know, it took me about 5 seconds. I'm like, yeah, I think I do. So same thing happened in Lafayette. They said, hey, you want to go cover Miss USA? Yeah. Yes, I do. Although I'll tell you, in terms of security – no match. It was tougher to get an interview with a Miss USA contestant than it would be to sit down with Nick Saban in his living room and have dinner.
Wow.
I mean, it was
wow.
The security was insane. Fun and interesting because I'd never seen anything like that. But, yeah, it was very, very different. So, yeah, you know, I've got a chance to do all sorts of things. But, you know, you go back to something that I think is cool, and I think hopefully people listening here, I got a chance to be on the sidelines when we played Hargrave back in 2009.
Yeah.
And, you know, first football game in South Alabama history. As a Mobile native, that's something I didn't get a chance to grow up with, South Alabama football. And, you know, got some great memories of that game and got a chance to be on the radio broadcast there. So, I've been very fortunate to be involved in a couple of different things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You talking right there, that leads right into our next question, is you've been a part of the radio network since it started. You were an external guy. Now you've moved internal, but that wasn't an overnight thing. That was kind of worked for a while. Kind of talk about how you moved from being outside the department to inside.
Well, it was about a 3-year conversation with Dr. Erdman. I spent 16 years at WPMI and NBC 15. And I did sports and news there. And the last 6 years I did news. And after about 3 years, I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. And I really, you know, enjoyed the people that I worked with. And it was a great experience. But it was getting to be I was getting tired of it. I was getting tired of doing TV news. And, of course, I was doing the morning show at that particular time. And so you're getting up at 2:30 in the morning, dressing in a closet so you don't wake up your wife. And, you know, there's no traffic on the way to work. So that's a positive. But – I had this conversation with Dr. Erdman. I saw where local media was going, and they just continue to cut sports. And, you know, sports, while I was doing the news, sports has always been my passion, always what I just enjoy doing. I'm the type that, yes, I watch the Canadian Football League on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays right about now. I'm that guy. And, I saw that they're going to continue cutting sports. When I was at NBC doing sports, we had a 3-person sports department. Almost every station now is down to a 1-person sports department. And I just started the conversation with Joel and said, look, we need to get – and talking about we, South Alabama, we need to get to a point where we cover ourselves. And, you know, if we can share what we cover with the local media, fantastic. But we need a place where somebody can go watch the softball highlights. Somebody can watch the basketball highlights. Somebody can hear what happened at practice. And you've got our media relations department that does a great job with the print side of that, but we didn't have a video component to it. And, you know, through that long conversation and then the exit of IMG and the creation of Jaguar Sports Properties, you know, once that happened, he said, hey, come on board, let's do it. And so that's why we created JagNationTV.com. And, you know, I go back to that time specifically. The softball team was top 25 in the country,
yeah,
and they were getting zero coverage. I mean, zero. Nobody was talking about it. I'm like, hey, we got a top 25 team here. It wasn't South Alabama's fault. It was just the way the local media was being shaped. And so I said, you know, let's go do it ourselves. And that edited content that we still have on Jag Nation TV then morphed into live coverage, and we were able to start carrying the soccer games and the softball and baseball and basketball and volleyball, and that's now morphed into ESPN Plus and football coverage as well. So, you know, the thing is, we want to make our product available to as many people as we can, and it takes a lot of work, but that's we got some fantastic athletes, some fantastic stories going on here. We don't have a lot of the privileges that some of the bigger conferences do, so let's do it ourselves. And credit to Dr. Urban for seeing that and agreeing that, yeah, there's a need there. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to make that happen.
It's kind of fun now. We've got a former student athlete we actually covered just
exactly
sitting right here with us.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, Chris, my son's a rising junior in high school. And, you know, those who know Chris, he had that long hair in college. And, you know, when he would get up on the video board, his little, you know, he would fling his head back and the hair goes back.
Yeah, fling the hair up, yeah.
And my son always loved him because of that. And so one of the first times after his playing days, Chris comes in, doesn't have the long hair, absolutely didn't recognize him. Like, who is this guy? Oh, my gosh. But no, it's been cool to be able to cover guys like you, and then now you get to be on this side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I remember when y'all launched Jag Nation TV, because that was the first time that I had met you. I remember all the production and promotion of it, and there's been so much good that has come out of that. And with, you know, at one point we were showing all the home games free on the website, so it gave my grandparents and my family back home an opportunity to watch games when they couldn't travel down here on the weekends.
Well, and that's the whole point is, yeah, you know, we've got to, if I'm a coach and I'm out there recruiting and I can say, hey, every home game, at least, that your son or daughter plays will be streamed for free. And now if it's on ESPN Plus, it's $4.99 a month, but that's still negligible. It's going to be seen. You know, that would make me more comfortable as a dad to know that my son or daughter, I'll be able to watch that game if I can't physically get down there. So that was the whole point in doing it. And, you know, there were some skeptics at first. And when I say skeptics, you know, you start bringing cameras around, I think coaches are like, oh, really? You're going to be doing what and talking to what and doing what? But once they quickly realize that we're here to promote them, we're not media, which, you know, I'm not trying to find the juicy story or not trying to find the controversy or anything like that. We're just trying to put up the positive stuff. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge is for our fan base just to know where to go. And that's a hard habit to change. If you're part of the older generation that gets everything from the newspaper, gets everything from the TV newscast, those things aren't around anymore. And so it's been hard to change those habits to say, hey, go to JagNationTV.com. Everything you need is there. I think the younger generation has caught on more, and that'll, in the long run, be a good thing because that's what people do now.
We've added that ESPN production that we're doing ourselves, literally ourselves. Well, I say our, you and Tyler.
Tyler, yeah.
Not me and Chris. But you know, you guys have literally pieced together everything, figured out how it all works, and you've got just kind of a little army of students running everything.
Well, and think about it. If you're a student and you get a chance to work, whether it's Jag Nation TV, which in my opinion, the Jag Nation TV productions and the ESPN Plus productions, there's not a whole lot of difference other than the look of the graphics. I mean, I think the production work, the camera work, the announcing, I think everything is pretty even. But that is a great opportunity. You know, I've got one of the girls coming in tomorrow who's actually our director, and I'm just making sure that she knows what her expectations are next year. She is directing the ESPN Plus football and basketball games as a junior in college.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's great. So I hope the students see the opportunities there. I hope they seize that opportunity and just get better. You know, the thing is, we're going to make mistakes. There are going to be some issues. I mean, when we got that ESPN Plus equipment last year, You talk about being overwhelmed. We got the equipment because the Jag Nation TV stuff we had built and had been doing that for about 2 years, so that's old hat. That was no issue. The ESPN Plus stuff was very different, and we got it literally a month before we were on the air for that Louisiana Tech football game last year. And you talk about a lot of sleepless nights, and I credit 99% of that to Tyler Foulkes because he is the one that figured out a lot of how this works, how that works. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way. I thought our first production for football was pretty good, especially considering the circumstances. And then you look at where we were in September versus where we were for that Coastal Carolina game and at the season's end, the day after Thanksgiving, came a long way, and the students are a big part of that.
You do a lot. So what's the favorite part of your job, Pat?
Going home. No, I'm kidding. when it's all said and done and nothing crashed on the air, that's probably what it is. No, I really like the games themselves. I like whether I'm the color guy or whether I'm just doing behind the scenes, the games are fun. You know, the setup can be tedious at times. The breakdown obviously can be tedious as well. But doing the games and then getting to talk to the players and coaches afterward, I mean, that's why we're here. You know, and getting to see some of the students, you know, not blowing smoke here, but getting to see some of the student athletes that have gone on to successful careers like this guy here to my left, Chris. I mean, that's cool. That's why you're here. You know, we all want South to win. We all want success. We want them to be good in everything they do athletically. But when you see them succeed as a person, that's why we're here.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's the coolest thing is you see a former athlete that'll come in and say, hey, I'm doing this now or I'm doing that now. You know, I'm in nursing school. I'm whatever it may be. That's really, really cool. And, you know, they may or may not know who we are. They know I do something in some way, shape, or form, and I used to see you all the time, you know. But that's cool to see them succeed.
So you've had an opportunity to work in – you've worked in news, you've worked in broadcasting, you've done all those different things, and I think you just answered this question. Do you think that that's really what has kept you in the sports realm of things, is just kind of having that opportunity to see student-athletes grow from being, you know, a freshman wide-eyed and bushy-tailed to somewhat grown up and,
right.
and you know, moving through life and things like that? Do you think that's what's kept you in the sports realm?
Well, to be honest with you, I think the reason that I like sports so much is it is pure entertainment. Now, that's not to say we don't take our sports seriously, because of course we do. But especially, I did news for 6 years at NBC in Mobile. I did 2 years of news in Lafayette. That's real stuff. You know, you're dealing with murders and shootings and fire and arson, city council, and you know, all this stuff. Okay, I just got to go to a basketball game. Now, we want South to win, and jobs are on the line, and I understand all that, and that is serious stuff. Comparatively, you know, sports is fun. I mean, that's what I like to do. I like to find the fun in things, and that's you know, again, I haven't talked about a car wreck or a shooting or a fire or an arson in what, almost 10 years now. that's cool. I like that. But yeah, I mean, just all the people you meet, the cool things you get to do. You know, I'll admit, if I go to a game that I'm not working, I am a jillion percent spoiled. If I'm not on the sidelines, I don't want to be there. You know, my son's playing high school football. I figured out a way now to be on the sidelines when he plays because I'm not good in the stands. I want to have the best seat. I want to walk wherever I need to walk. But, no, it's fun. I mean, and that's you know, the bottom line is when it's all said and done, sports is entertainment. And that's what I like to do.
So getting to do all of those things and being in all of those different avenues of broadcasting and production and everything like that, a lot of people might just see you on ESPN or get to see, you know, on the news and things of that nature and think, man, he's been able to be really successful at this. But everybody knows that's been successful in any walk of life, you don't get there alone.
Absolutely.
Who would you say has been the most influential person in your life, professionally, personally, so on and so forth?
I don't know if there's one influential person. I think it's just the amount of people that I've worked with that have that same mindset. That, you know, look, I pull cables on Fridays when we play football at LAD. You know, and I've had people comment, like, what are you doing pulling cables? Aren't you on the air? I'm like, yeah, but we got to have this cable pulled in order to be able to put this broadcast on. To know the audio person and the graphics person and the director and the producer, the people that you never see, it's much like the offensive line. You know, nobody knows who the offensive line is, but you don't do anything without the offensive line. And so I like being around those people that are going to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Do we need to haul this thing up there, haul this up 40 steps in order to get it to – fine, let's do it. So I think I've been very fortunate to – whether it was in the TV career or whether it's doing what I'm doing now – to be around a lot of people that just want to get the job done and they want it to look good. They don't necessarily – yeah, I mean, I get the credit more so than I deserve just because I'm on the air. And sometimes you get the blame because, you know, things go wrong. Sometimes it's not your fault. But no, I like being around people that want to make it good. I mean, it's just like it's no different than a football team or a volleyball team. You know, everybody's got to work together to make it happen. Everybody's got to work together to make a newscast work, to make a broadcast work. That's what I enjoy, is just being able to meet and to know and to see all those other jobs. And that's why for 20 years I was on the air, period. I did some production work, but not a whole lot. Now I'm doing a lot of production work. And so you see exactly what a director has to do. You see what the audio person has to do. You see what the camera people have to do. And you get a pretty deep appreciation of how hard it is to make it look easy.
You spent the last couple of days just checking out the graphics in the truck, right?
I've actually learned how the ESPN graphics system works. Long story, we've created a division of fan engagement next year. And so Tyler Folks, who's been critical to what we've done with Jag Nation TV and ESPN Plus, he's going to be spending a lot of his time working with the video boards moving forward. And so we're going to be putting a lot more on the students. And in order to put more on the students, I need to know exactly how this ESPN graphic systems works. And so, yeah, I've spent the last couple of days in the ESPN truck trying to figure it out. And it's not difficult, but it's actually pretty cool. I'm like, okay, now, you know, I made a graphic of my son as the Sun Belt Conference's leading tackler in the, you know, as a linebacker, you know, and sent him a picture and said, hey, here's what it is in 2 years, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to know everybody's job and how to get it done. And if you need some graphics for ESPN, let me know. I can make it happen.
We just got one more question for you, Pat. What would you say is your definition of success?
I think enjoying what you do, doing it well and enjoying what you do, and taking pride in what you do. I coached little kids. I've coached Robert through eighth grade. I've coached my two of my daughters in basketball. And they look at me when I'm like, I'm crazy when I say it, because I'm hyper competitive. I don't like to lose. But when I say I don't care about the scoreboard, I care about your effort, they're like, what? No, I said, look, if you give me your best effort, we lose, cool. I can deal with that. Just give me everything you got. And so I think that is success. You know, we may put on an ESPN Plus broadcast that I'll look back and say, gosh, yeah, we did about four or five different things wrong. Now, the average person may not see it, but I know that if everybody, especially, you know, working with these young students, if they did the best they could, and I taught them the right way and they did the best they could, it's going to look pretty good. And we've been fortunate that I think our stuff looks pretty good. And that's a testament to all the people that make these broadcasts work. So, I mean, I think that's success, is giving it everything you got and being satisfied with the effort, but not too satisfied, because let's take the next step. Let's make it better. I think we've done a pretty good job so far.
Not too bad. Pat Greenwood, our Director of Multimedia and Corporate Sales Executive for South Alabama. Pat.
Executive. I like that.
That is your title, right?
Something like that. I don't know. I just show up to work.
Guy in office that does things with wires.
Yes, exactly. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Glad you could come on. You can catch next week's podcast on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jags. For Chris May, I'm JT Crabtree. We'll see you next time on Inside Jag Nation.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Weekly episodes can be found for free on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio by simply searching South Alabama Jaguars. You can also go to usajaguars.com and select the Multimedia tab. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!